The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. Heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
On Tuesday evening, as I do every Tuesday evening, I celebrate a 5:30 p.m. Mass here at Holy Family. And as the Mass was going along, the wind kept getting louder and louder. And I've lived in Los Angeles my whole life, and I've never heard wind like that my whole life. And as the Mass was continuing, I kept hearing the doors banging and stuff falling in the back. So before communion, I asked our lector to go around and close the doors because I wanted people to stay safe in here. After Mass, I had a decision to make. Because every Tuesday after Mass, we have confession and we have adoration. And I thought, should I cancel confession and adoration? And I quickly thought to myself, you know, Ricky, you have a lot of reasons why you're going to purgatory already. Don't cancel confession. Cancel adoration. In the midst of all the wind, we had over 20 people here. And it filled that whole hour. And as I finished with my last confession, I walked outside that door there, and I looked at our big, beautiful tree, and I just saw the branches just blowing like I'd never seen before. And when I was out there, that's when I saw one of the power servers go out. And the power went out here in our church, and we had about, I would say, 30 people in here praying, and I asked them to turn their phones on, their flashlights on. And it's interesting, when you need your phone, you don't know how to work it, right? But we got everybody out, walked the sacrist into her car, which we locked up. And as I was leaving the church, I didn't even realize I still had my penitential stole on. And I was walking with the incense. And I walked to the office, and I wanted to make sure our staff got out okay, and they did. And here I am, and you know, I put the incense out, and walking to the rectory, and just the wind, as we all saw, was something that I had never seen before. And as I got into the rectory, the power was out there too, and I instantly thought of my mother, who always told me, make sure you have a flashlight in every room in the house. I didn't have a flashlight anywhere. You know, I didn't listen to my mom. I have lights all over now, trust me. But as I was sitting in the dark, my first thought was for all of you. And I was so worried for my parishioners here. And the texts began to come in, and the emails, people just so worried about each other. Did you hear so-and-so had to evacuate? Is it true, Father, about this family? And I was getting my information from all of you. As I was sitting there, I did find a candle, and I lit the candle in my room, and just praying for you all, I realized I needed to move my car from Ramona Avenue because you know where my house is. We have those big trees there. And I thought, my car's trapped. I'm really going to be in trouble. So in the midst of all the wind, I got into my car and I drove down here and I turned into parking lot and parked my car right here. And as I pulled it into the parking lot, I was annoyed because I saw another car. And I thought, I just kicked everybody out. Who would come to the church right now? And I just thought, is somebody clueless? They think we're having meetings right now? You know, instantly I turned into work mode. And I got out of my car and I greeted the people of this other car. And it was a family I had never seen before. It was a dad, a mom, husband and wife, and their child. And this is what the dad told me. He looked at me, he said, "We're trying to have dinner with our friends. We can't make it. There's trees everywhere." And he looked at me and he said, "We came to the church because we knew we would be safe here." And I just looked at him and I said, "Okay, I guess you could park here." Right? I mean, what are you going to say to that, right? And they stayed here that night. And when I woke up the next day to check, they were gone. But isn't that why you're here right now? To get comfort? As that family in the midst of the terrible windstorm came here, you've come here yourself to be comforted, as our first reading tells us today. Because let's be honest, this past week has been really tough, has it not? It's been horrible. It's been extremely hard. Let's just say it, this week has sucked. But one thing remains and will never ever change, or nor will ever be taken away from us, is that Jesus is always there for us. In our good moments, in our bad moments, he's always there. You may not see him right now, but he's there. So I'm here to tell you this today as your pastor. It's okay to be mad, okay? It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to feel lost, like your whole world has gone upside down. As Jesus was dying on the cross, he teaches us a very valuable lesson when he said, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Because there are moments in our lives that we feel like that. Maybe you have lost your home, or you've been displaced. It's okay to question. Don't feel bad about that. Jesus did that himself. We're human after all. It's okay to feel overwhelmed too right now, okay? We're all searching for normalcy, aren't we? We're all looking for stuff to hold on to so that our life makes sense. As I went to bed late Tuesday night, I said one final prayer for you all, and I said, "Lord, please let me sleep tonight, because I know these next few days are going to be tough." And I woke up about 5:30. I don't remember the exact time, and the power was on the house, thanks be to God. And I was so out of it. You know, normally, I am a man of routine. I have my routine in the morning, and normally I pray right away. I can even pray right away, do my normal prayers. And somehow I grabbed my phone and I ended up on Uber Eats and I found somebody delivering McDonald's in the midst of the storm. Like, you know, and not only ordered food for myself, but I ordered food for, like, my Mexican side came out. I ordered food for like 20 people and I was the only one in the house. Because I just needed some normalcy. We're all looking for that right now. When our lives have been changed upside down, we just need stuff that's going to give us comfort. So if you, at the beginning of the year, said, you know, "I'm going to try this New Year resolution by dieting and all that," that's good. But if you need to eat In-N-Out right now or High Life, go for it, okay? Don't tell your MDs I said that. I escaped to... Many of you have been asking how my family's doing, but my family doesn't live in this area. They live in the South Bay. You know, and I needed my parents for a little bit on Thursday. I needed to see my family. And I went for a couple hours, and you know, the fact that the sky was blue out there, I sat in my car and I just cried.
Something that we take for granted every day, right? Looking at the sky. So normalcy will come back one day. It's okay to have survivor's guilt too. Many of you have been saying, why is my house okay? But my neighbor, my family, they lost everything. They're good people. Why them, not me? That's part of the human journey. We're never going to know why. But what we can do is show our love to those who have been affected. Every single one of you in this church has been affected, either directly or indirectly, by people that you love. A lot of you are out of your homes right now. But if you're not, that's okay too. You're doing your part. These are all human emotions. I've shared this before, but I'm going to get a little personal today. I survived a fire 14 years ago. The FBI said I was probably 5 to 10 seconds away from dying if I didn't wake up. I survived an arson, actually. It's the Judd Vianney Church in Hacienda Heights. And you know what, I woke up, I'll never forget it. It was 12:01 a.m., April 16th, 2011. And I woke up and, you know, I grew up in a rough neighborhood, okay? So if you hear glass shatter in the middle of the night, you think someone's breaking in. So my hood instincts popped in, right? Thought, who's coming in? And I turned around and the whole church was on fire. And many of us have been asking, in a fire, what do you want to take out? And the reality is, you just want to live, don't you? You just want your loved ones to be alive. And I remember I had a raggedy, I think it was a UCLA basketball t-shirt. I grabbed the first pair of shorts. Had shoes, no socks on. And as the sun was beginning to come up, I begged the authorities, please let me back into the rectory. The rectory caught fire, but they were able to save it. Church, complete loss. And I said, I wanted to look like a priest for my parishioners. And they let me back into the house, and I was in such shock. And I see the shock in many of you today. And I just wanted to grab my priest's clothes, and he said, I'll give you 5 minutes. Well, it was about minute 10 where they started to bark at me, you need to leave now. And I didn't even grab my passport or my birth certificate. You know what I grabbed? Dodger tickets. I missed when they printed the tickets out. Remember those days? And my mom was like, that's what you grabbed? And I said, well, I need some normalcy in my life. It was like opening series soon. And many of you are feeling like that too. You're just grabbing anything that makes sense to you. Don't feel bad about that, okay? The greatest lesson I learned about that fire is I was able to, a couple days later, we went into the church and the tabernacle was completely burned, but the ciborium, as burnt as it was, people were asking about the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist. We opened that ciborium and all those loose consecrated hosts were now charred, but they became one. They were stronger than ever. And that's what's happening to you right now. We as God's people are becoming stronger because of this. This area is going to rise again. Los Angeles, the city that I love, born and raised, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be better for this. There are moments in my life, and it gets rarer and rarer that I do have flashbacks to that fire, sometimes in the middle of the night. Very rare now. I'll wake up in a sweat and I panic. So be patient with yourself. Trauma is real. But I want to remind you that you are going to smile again. You are going to be able to laugh again one day. It's going to be a time where this doesn't dominate your thoughts. The destruction never defines us. It's how we show love to one another that will define us. want you to know I see the good that you're doing. We've been bombarded with people calling, asking how we can help. It makes me laugh, some of the requests. Can we drop off refrigerator or couch? I called the family. The family said, well, I'd like it, but we have nowhere to put it. They said something worse, but if I said it in church, he'd write a letter to the archbishop, all right? People want to help. We've established a monetary fund here at Holy Family, where that money will go directly to our parish parishioners who need it. Holy Family people. So my friends, we're going to get through this. We already are. One of my favorite stories is of a school father. He's a fireman. And when he was out there battling the fire, he realized that one of the neighborhoods he was in, a Holy Family, a school family, that was their house. He was able to save that house of his child's classmate. There's so much good going on right now. And right now it's hard to see. But I see it. I want you to know I love you very much. Even those of you who drive me crazy once in a while, I love you too, okay? And I know I drive you nuts once in a while too, so pray for me, okay? So what I want you to do right now is I want you just to turn to your family that's with you or to the closest parishioner and just tell them that you love them and that it's going to be okay. Please do that right now. So I want you to know I'm here for you. Monsignor Clem's here for you. Father Leo is here for you. Father Gerald called from Nigeria. He sent his love and prayers. So we're going to get through this together. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand as we profess our faith.